Anybody that can identify with anxiety, that's a really big deal that you were able to capture that on your phone and be real and share that with us today. And I don't know about you, but I can relate to anxiety. If you came in here this morning and you're not feeling anxious, I can help with that, okay? Think of the financial pressures of paying bills, raising kids, school activities, relational issues, health challenges, job stress, inflation, overscheduled. Has anybody seen the price of a gallon of milk? It's expensive. Open your news app. You'll find more stuff to be anxious about. Enough already, I know. I'll stop for a minute. Jesse's going, yes, please stop. I'll stop to be able to share this good news with you, because this is good news. Our overwhelming culture can lead us to be anxious about many things. But we're not alone, like Danielle said, we're not alone in our anxiety, and we can practice the anxious-free life that God invites us into. So as Danielle said, I have anxiety every day, but what she's practicing is leaning into the anxious-free life that she knows is there, and she's leaning in and practicing that. So we're in this series that's going to take us all the way through May, all the way up to our Memorial Day breakfast, and we're calling it mental health. And this is a subject that we've heard a lot of people saying, wow, so glad you guys are doing this, excited about the conversation, and I think it's a much-needed conversation, a transparent conversation about mental health informed by some better understanding from Scripture, also supported with some readily and available professional help that we'll be able to help you with. So remember, we're not mental health professionals. I'm not. You're not, are you? Leslie might be. She's probably the closest one to it. But we're not mental health professionals. We're exploring this subject from a pastoral vantage point. That's what we're doing. And we encourage people that if you need to get professional help, we will help you with that. We actually have resources for that. Matter of fact, on our Meadow Heights app, there's a new place there for resources, and you can click on that, and it'll give you all kinds of resources and things to be able to look at. So from a pastoral vantage point, I want us to look at what Paul has to say about this subject of anxiety specifically. He says, be glad in the Lord always. Again, I say, be glad. I wonder why he says that twice. I think we have trouble with this. He says, let your gentleness show in your treatment of all people. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring up all of your requests to God in your prayers and petitions, along with giving thanks. Don't be anxious about anything. That seems like a pretty hard thing to get our heads wrapped around, right? Like, you might be thinking this morning, like, don't be anxious. I can't even imagine not being anxious about one thing. I'm always anxious. Don't be anxious about anything. Remember, you're not alone. And in fact, listen to some of these statistics. Over 40 million adults, this is in our nation, 19.1% of the population have anxiety disorders in the U.S., according to a U.S. Census Bureau. And it says nearly one-third of adults, 32.3%, reported anxiety and depression symptoms in 2023. 32% of our country. Worldwide, anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the world. Roughly 301 million people of the global population. Isn't that wild? And for an age group, it said one survey found that young people are more likely to experience symptoms of anxiety than older adults. So older adults, congratulations. You're anxious-free. You guys can go home the rest of the day, I guess. Says in adolescents between 13 and 18 years old, 13 and 18, 32% are affected by anxiety disorders. 32%. And research from the Health and Resource and Service Administration found that anxiety among children 3 to 17 has increased over the last 5 years, increasing 27% from 2016 to 19. That's prior to 2020. What do you think happened in 2020? Probably went way up, didn't it? Crazy. So I think it's safe to say that we've all probably experienced anxiety, and Kara sang a lot about fear. Fear is one of those things, And I think with fear, it's impossible for us to actually learn anything without fear. So kids, babies develop like the most simple things to be able to learn how to deal with life as they're growing up, because they have something happens and fear kicks in and it helps them learn to avoid some things. So fear is necessary for survival. Anxiety, not so much. Not so much. Overwhelming, our culture is an overwhelming culture that leads us to be anxious about many things. But we're not alone in our anxiety, and we can practice the anxious-free life that God invites us into. So what is anxiety? What's the difference between anxiety and fear? Well, according to anxiety.org, here's what it is. It's a psychological and emotional response to a threat that the brain perceives. Everybody say perceives. Yes. Fear, on the other hand, is a response to real danger. Everybody say real danger. Real danger. Real danger is fear. Anxiety is perception. We start dwelling on all these things that could be, not necessarily that are. And it's difficult sometimes to be able to know what's real and what's not, because it triggers the same thing in our brain, this fight or flight mechanism. So it's like fear produces that, fight or flight. That's just how I learn. Anxiety produces the same thing. So it's difficult to be able to tell the difference between the two. So a real fear would be, when I was 7 years old, we had the paper towels up too high for me to reach. And I'm use a lot of paper towels, don't I, Heather? Well, 7 or 8 of our trash bags a week are my paper towel use. So this has been going on for a long time. I got more anxiety about paper towels right now. So in order to get the paper towels, I had to jump up on the stove to be able to reach them. And I didn't realize my mom had been using the stove, and it was no longer red anymore. It was just black. So the old, you know, so I jumped up there, and my leg seared. Ah, scream. I still got a scar from it. Traumatized. It's amazing I even use paper towels anymore. But here's the reality. I don't know why paper towels are such a big deal right now. So what happens for me is all of a sudden the fear of the stove is a real thing. So I'm watching the stove. I'm watching my kids around the stove. This isn't perception. A hot stove will burn you. That fear kicks in. But unhealthy fear triggers anxiety. It's about something general, an overwhelming sense of worry. And we start leaning into that. You know what it starts to do? Anxiety interrupts our sleep, in our thoughts, in our relationships, in our health, in our well-being. It moves from just worry to an embodied response. Anxiety's physical. You deal with anxiety, it's physical. It deals you feel it. It's not just something that moves here. You start to think about things, and then it moves here into your body. So for some, it may be like occasional, like a sense of uneasiness or discomfort, or I got a test coming up. Students, I'm anxious over a test. And that's anxiety. It could be like, I just feel uncomfortable in this situation. So for some, it's like some sort of little things that happens, or that person that texts you every once in a while. You guys all have one, right? If you don't, you might be the one. Where they text you and you're like, how do I respond to that? And then you finally respond, and then the bubbles pop up like, okay, what are they going to say? And then all of a sudden, they don't say anything. The bubbles just go away, and you're like, what's going on? I've got 27 of those people. No, just kidding. What's the problem? I'm probably the problem. I am the one. So for some, anxiety's minor. But for others, it can be crushing. Debilitating, a constant sense of dread, even in life, shortness of breath, feeling your heart rate rising. You feel it inside of you, like the walls are closing in. You can't function. Wherever you are on the spectrum of anxiety, I want to remind you, you're not alone. God cares about it. He cares about you. He cares about your anxiety more than you do. And others are with you on your journey. But to make matters worse, what happens in a conversation that I grew up in, that Brian mentioned a little bit last week, and that I think our Christian culture still is a little bit stuck in, is we'll use verses like I just read from Paul, and we'll use them against us. Don't be anxious about anything. It's a beautiful verse. It's a wonderful verse. It's packed full of good news, not a bunch of bad news. So we're going to unpack that together today. It says, be glad in the Lord always. Again, I say to you, be glad. Let your gentleness show in your treatment of other people. Paul's given us a wonderful indicator of what things look like. If you're anxious, are you gentle? Not usually. How does that show up? It's an embodied response. You're an anxious presence. Paul's describing like a non-anxious presence here, that it's an indicator. The anxiety is a signal. Now, I'm also saying, I know that the brain and the body, they go together, but what goes on in your brain and what goes on in your body are two unique things as well. They go together, but they're unique. So anxiety is a signal. It's a signal of something else going on inside of us. What is happening? The signal is indicating something. It's kind of like you're driving down the road and the little yellow light pops up on your car. It's a signal. Something's going on. You need to figure out what's going on. So what do? A buddy of mine said you put tape over it. Not a good idea. That's not how you would do it. You also just don't worry about it. Oh my gosh, I wonder what's going on with my car. I better worry about this for the next 6 weeks. Anxiety will begin to take over about that. It's a signal. So what do? You take the car to the mechanic. And you say, hey, we need a diagnosis. We need to figure out what's going on. That way we can make this work. We can get the car back on the road like it's supposed to be doing. Same thing with an anxiety. In fact, the word in Scripture most often translated as an anxiety, it literally means dwelling or pondering on fear or thoughts that lead to anxiety. That's what it is. You dwell, you ponder. It starts up here in your brain, and then all of a sudden it manifests fully in your body's anxiety. It's like when we do that, we're training ourselves to be anxious. Anybody here want to train to be anxious? Follow me for a few days. I'll train you. We're training ourselves to be anxious. So I think it's like once the light comes on, if we don't do something different with our brains, we're going to end up in the same cycle. So how do we break that cycle? What do we do? I think there's some things that we can practice, and I think some things that Paul's talking about. First, we pause. Everybody say pause. This is not my MO, by the way. My MO is action, right? Heather and I were relaxing yesterday. She was relaxing. I sat down and relaxed with her for about, I don't know, 3.5 minutes maybe. And I'm like, all right, I'm good. And I got to get something done. So I jump up and she's like, you really can't relax, can you? Like, it's difficult. So pausing is not my MO. But sometimes God says to pause. He says he says in Psalms, be still and know that I'm God. Just pause. Be still. Stand there. He's at work. He knows way more than you do. He cares about it. There are times God just says to be still, to acknowledge that you don't know what's going on, acknowledge you don't have the power. A lot of times it's our best thinking that got us in the situation that we're in anyway, so we got to stop trying to figure it out, and we have to pause. If we believe that God is always present and at work and that he meets us in reality, like Danielle said, she said, I'm beginning to sit there in my feelings rather than trying to go to social media or go somewhere else and try to mask the feeling. Just sit there and be in it. As uncomfortable as it is, be. Pause. Listen. Too often, we don't take time to examine, to dig a little bit, and allow God to help us see something that we're not seeing. Our overwhelming culture is going to lead us to be anxious about so many things. But we're not alone. Everybody say, I'm not alone. Not alone in our anxiety. Because God is with us, he's present, and we can practice the anxious-free life that God invites us into. So we pause, we remember we're not alone. God is with us, he is for us, he's working. He can work, and he can actually do something with my anxiety. He can bring something good out of it. And then we pray. Everybody say pray.
Pray.
We pause, and we pray. When we feel anxious and overwhelmed, we don't know what to do, we can pray. We can pray. Prayer is listening. That's part of prayer. Prayer is a lot of stuff, but it's also petitioning. And this is what he says. He says, Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring up all your requests to God in prayer and petition. You can ask God to help you. And it can be as real as it needs to be. Lord, help. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm anxious. I'm hurting. 1 Peter says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares about you. Cast. We think of cast, we think of like a fishing pole. Like, well, that's not a whole lot of anxiety. Theirs was nets. It's just like, throw it all out there. Cast it all to him. He's big enough. He can take it. He's got broad shoulders. Throw all your anxiety on him. God, I don't understand. I'm hurting. I'm desperate. I feel alone. My heart rate is rising. I'm sweating. I'm freaking out about my kids. I'm freaking out about my finances. I need help. Cast all that stuff on him. He is good. He is there. God, I don't know what else to do next. You pause and you pray and you cast it on him. Your cares, he cares about. If it's big enough for you to be worrying about, it's big enough for you to pray about. That's a really good thing to remember. Because a lot of times what we want to do is we want to set into worry rather than actually pausing and actually praying. So if you're thinking, well, I got to do something, well, pause is doing something. Prayer is doing something. Worry, that's actually doing nothing. That's only causing more anxiety for you. Dr. Caroline Leaf, she's an author of a book called Switch on Your Brain. And in her research, here's what she discovered. It's been found that in 12 minutes of daily focused prayer over an 8-week period can change the brain to such an extent that it can be measured on a brain scan. Isn't that wild? That's pretty cool. So not only is prayer helping connect you to God and what he's up to, it's not only is it helping realign you, but it's actually changing the chemistry of your brain. That's pretty wild. It's awesome that God designed and hardwired for that to work that way. There's power in that. Anxiety's a signal. So we pause. What's going on? We dig a little. What's happening inside of me? Why am I so anxious? What's running around in my brain? Lord, would you speak to me on that? Help me see what I need to see. And then we pray. God, I need help now. What do I do? Direct me in the right way. Bring somebody along, whatever that might be. And then we praise. Everybody say praise.
Praise.
Praise. We pause. We pray. And then we praise. Not just like songs of praise. That's praise. But I think what actually he's talking about here is more along the lines of gratitude. He's actually saying giving thanks. He says, don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring up all your requests to God in your prayers and petitions along with giving thanks. It's a posture move. You move from being all focused on you, and you move to being focused on him. You move from being focused on you, and you move to be focused on others. It's a posture shift of gratitude. You begin to shift something in your mind. You break the cycle, you pause, you pray, and then regardless of what else is going on, just like Danielle says, she said, my anxiety's not gone. It's still there. We don't praise him because when we paused and prayed, everything went away. Thank God, no more anxiety. No. We then shift our posture to praise, to gratitude. You name what is good. You look at all these things that are good in your life. You begin to be grateful for those things. Praise happens not because there's no more anxiety. Rather, it takes place even when the anxiety or the things that you're anxious about still exist. That's true gratitude. The other stuff's just glad you got it. Man, I'm glad I got that. It makes me feel good. Gratitude says, wow, I probably don't deserve anything good, and I'm grateful. So whatever's going on, I'm grateful that you're with me, Lord. I'm grateful that I can listen. I'm grateful that I can pray. I'm grateful that I can bring this stuff to you. Thank you, God. You see the shift from anxiety, worry in my head, to I pause a little bit and ask what's going on. I recognize that God is with me. The Lord is near. He's with me right in this moment. And I begin to cast my fears on him. It moves things from here to back out to here. And then I just sit and I'm grateful for the fact that who God is and who I am and the way that he's made me and all these wonderful things that I have in my life. It's how we respond to show that we actually believe that God is good. God is always present. He's always with us. He always meets us in reality. He's always up to good things. And that's how we surrender to that. I'm an anxious person. Some of you may not know that. Some of you may. Some of you may. I'm actually on an anxiety medicine. I've been on anxiety medicine for about 10 years. I hope one day that maybe I'm not, but for now, I am. And it's not the only thing I do. It's why I love these 10 practices of becoming. It's helping me become less of an anxious person, a non-anxious presence. I'm getting better at that. I have way less what my buddy Shay calls high-speed come-apart moments. Used to have those about once every 6 months. I haven't had a high-speed come-apart moment in a while. That's a good sign for me, because I used to have those even while I was on anxiety medicine. But I also see a counselor on a regular basis. I just visited with him Friday. He's like, man, sounds like things are going really well. It's like they are. Tired, but things are going well. And I'm learning some new tools that he's helping me with, some things that are embodied responses for me, not just for me to do something up here, but this good news that I have to do something based out of that good news. I got to respond in some ways. And I get anxious about a lot of things. Probably one of the biggest things I get anxious about that I notice lately is our finances. So when I'm balancing the checkbook, yes, I'm that old. I still balance a checkbook. So usually twice a month, I balance the checkbook to the penny. Probably another anxiety causer. but I get anxiety about that. And I check our accounts usually 4 to 5 times a week. And partly so nothing weird's going on there. You know, there's always identity theft, those kind of things. But I check it 4 to 5 times a week. That may not be healthy. I probably talked to my counselor about that one as well. But I also check it. And there's also this lie that I begin to believe when it comes to, this is what I believe a couple times a month when I'm balancing the checkbook. As long as there's X amount of dollars in savings, then I'm good. Then I can have peace. If it drops below that, or if it looks like we're getting below that certain number, gosh. Now, the reality is, the checkbook has to balance. We have to have money that we're spending, right? Those things are realities. But the problem is when I begin to believe that lie, that my peace is all based on that number. So I have to stop. Why am I believing that? I have to pause and ask myself. I mean, Heather knows when I'm balancing the checkbook, there's a lot of anxiety. She's like, you okay? You want me to get you something to drink? What's going on? You know, like, it's like I'm just in there writing so hard, my pen's shooting out. Like, funny. Not funny when they're laughing at you, is it, Danielle? But I have to pause, and I have to name the lie, and I have to give that to God. And I have to bring gratitude back. Like, everything in my life that I have that matters to me is not affected by money. Not affected by a certain number that I have in savings account. Those aren't the things I'm grateful for. I mean, I'm grateful for them, but it's the relationships that I'm really grateful for. Heather's probably not going to leave me if I don't have any money at all, right? Those are the things that I'm really grateful for. And I have to name those things. And I have to tell God how good he is. I have to have an embodied response to what he's up to. We have to pause. We have to pray. And then we have to praise him. Respond out of gratitude. We can't just stop in the prayer. We've got to do something else that's embodied back to him. That's what Paul's talking about. So, those are good practices. For you, maybe a practice this week is to talk to a counselor. Maybe it's to get help. Maybe you need to call your doctor. I don't know what that might look like for you. There might need to be something immediate where you're going, wow, I probably need to get some outside help. And we can help you with that. But these other three practices, I think, are really great too. And I think they will even ramp up anything else that you're doing because this gets at the heart of God. This gets at being able to come back to him and be in divine union with him in those ways. So pause, pray, and then praise. So I'm going to give you a little time this morning to do that. So let's just practice this together. Let's bow your heads, close your eyes. First, I just want you to pause. And I want you to name something that brings you anxiety. And just be present with that anxiety for a moment. And you might ask yourself or ask God, what makes me anxious about this? Why am I anxious? You might even be able to name a lie of why you're anxious, what you're believing about that. Just take a few moments. Just pause. I'm going to let you sit there in quiet. Just take a moment to pray, to bring whatever it is that causes you anxiety to God. Ask Him for whatever you want to ask Him for, probably some peace. Just have a conversation with Him. What's on your heart? What's on your mind about that particular thing? And God is always present to you and with you. And now that you're a little more tuned in and present with Him, maybe just name some things that you're praising Him for. Express some gratitude back to God in some way. Father, thank you for being present with each of us today, God. You're always with us. And I ask that you would guard our hearts and our minds against the worries of this world. Give us the peace that only you can give. Help us to remember these three simple things that we can do to pause and to pray, to listen, to bring you our anxiety, to slow down and then move our posture back to a posture of gratitude. Father, thank you for all the things that you have done, the way you've hardwired us, the way that when we spend time in prayer, it actually does something in our brains, which does something in our souls and does something in our hearts. Help us to be real with ourselves, with other people, to get the help that we need, and to be real with you, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen. Imagine what it could be like to be anxious for nothing. Wouldn't that be good? I think Paul had something in mind when he said that. I think he knew. I think he was probably closer to being anxious for nothing than I am today. But man, how good would it be to be anxious for nothing? To just be a non-anxious presence, even though that there's all kinds of things to be anxious about. So who thinks that our world is not going to be overwhelming anymore? And it's not going to lead us to be anxious to be anything? It will. It's going to lead us in that way. We have to do something to move in a different direction. We got to realize we're not alone. We're all in this together. And more importantly, God is with us in our anxiety. And that we have to believe that we can practice the anxious-free life if we'll pause, if we'll pray, and if we'll praise. Because he invites us into that life better than we ever thought it would be. What if we could be anxious for nothing? Man, that